Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about the impact of the significant cryptocurrency market crash that has been happening today. Some recovery has happened, but this short-term crash could impact Tesla's financials for the second quarter, so I want to talk about that. Then we've also got news on Giga Berlin and Giga Texas, a couple of analyst updates, a report on the Cybertruck, and one other story as well. And I am going to get this out quicker today. It's probably going to be a shorter episode because I do want to do a live stream tonight for the unveiling of the Ford F-150 Lightning. So that's Wednesday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, or Thursday morning, 1:30 a.m. UTC. Another down day for Tesla stock today, finishing down 2.5% to $563.46. That compared to the NASDAQ, which started off the day pretty rough, but did recover throughout the day, closing just shy of flat. All right, so we do have to revisit cryptocurrencies today. If you haven't been following, if there's been significant crashing happening, Bitcoin at the low today was down 30%, Ethereum down 45% or so, Doge similarly. There has been some recovery throughout the day, but this is potentially going to impact Tesla for the second quarter because of how far Bitcoin did drop at the low. So we'll get into why that is, but it is predicated on Tesla continuing to hold their Bitcoin throughout the quarter. So we saw Elon this morning tweet kind of in the midst of this fall, quote, "Tesla has diamond hands," end quote. I'm sure most by now are familiar with the diamond hands expression. Basically, it's just used to imply holding onto coins or shares as hard as a diamond that no matter what happens, you're not going to sell. So this is commonly used in the stock market, particularly for meme stocks like GameStop. It's made its way over to Tesla as well, of course, but also commonly used in the crypto markets as well. So strongly implied here, as Bitcoin is crashing, that Elon is tweeting this in reference to Tesla's Bitcoin position. In case it wasn't already clear enough, Elon then added on to that saying, quote, "credit to our master of coin," end quote. Of course, Zach, CFO, which I'm not sure he'd want full credit for that, but pretty clear what Elon is referring to. This adds on to a tweet from Monday where Elon said, quote, "to clarify speculation, Tesla has not sold any Bitcoin," end quote. So as I'm recording, Bitcoin has risen back up to somewhere around 40,000, still down quite a bit from where it's been the last few weeks, but should be well above where Tesla actually purchased it at, so they should still be sitting on an unrealized gain for the portion of Bitcoin that they have remaining. Unfortunately, based on how GAAP accounting works, if at any point in time during the quarter, Bitcoin's price falls below the current carrying value that Tesla recognizes on their balance sheet, Tesla has to mark that down as an impairment loss, and that actually hits their GAAP earnings per share, because it's recognized as an expense in the restructuring and other line. In simple terms, no matter the price of Bitcoin at the end of the quarter, Tesla has to recognize the value of their Bitcoin as the lowest price that it traded at throughout the entire quarter, unless that quarterly low is still higher than the price that Tesla has it recognized at on their balance sheet. If that happens, they would just record no change. You can see this in Tesla's Q1 results, where they say the carrying value of the Bitcoin that they hold is $1.33 billion, but the fair market value is 2.48. They only recognize the 1.33 billion on their balance sheet. So you can see it ends up being pretty one-sided in terms of the accounting impact until you sell. Once you sell, if you have gains, at that point you can recognize them. But if you just hold, every time a new low happens, you have to mark that as an impairment. That brings us to the wild action for today because Bitcoin's low was right around $30,000. My math says that that is below the price that Tesla has marked as their current carrying value at the end of Q1. So again, from Tesla's 10Q, they said the fair market value of their Bitcoin position was $2.48 billion on March 31st. If we look at Yahoo Finance, they say that the closing price on March 31st was about $59,000. I don't know exactly where Tesla's getting their fair market value from for Bitcoin at the end of the quarter, but assuming it's somewhere around that 59,000, should be close, then that means Tesla had around 41 to 42,000 Bitcoin at the end of the quarter. We also know that in the first quarter, they sold $272 million worth of Bitcoin and had a $128 million gain on that. So they gained about 89% on that transaction. And both those numbers tell us they sold about 9 to 10% of their total Bitcoin. So at the beginning, they probably purchased somewhere around 45,000, 46,000 Bitcoin. And we know they put $1.5 billion in. So my estimate is that their cost basis was somewhere around $32,000 to $33,000. That also checks out with the sale that we had in the first quarter, that 89% gain. Would have meant Tesla sold at a price of around $61,500, which would have been possible. We may have enough information to get a more precise estimate than that, but just doing some quick math on that today. Anyway, if we assume that that was their cost basis, we also know that Tesla had a $27 million impairment in Q1, so that means that the low in Q1 was just a little bit lower than what Tesla bought it at. So across 45,000 Bitcoins or so, that ends up being an impairment of around $600 per Bitcoin. So if Tesla paid somewhere around $32,500, with that impairment, their new carrying cost per Bitcoin would be right around $32,000. Finally, then, we come full circle to today's crash because even though the price has risen, Tesla has to value it at the low, which was around $30,000. That looks like it's going to be lower than the current carrying value was at the end of Q1. So if Tesla truly has diamond hands, like Elon here says on Twitter, and they hold throughout Q2, they'll have to mark an impairment in their Q2 earnings. Using more precise numbers, I think the carrying value at the end of Q1 was around $31,700, the low today, $30,100. So again, assuming no sale, and assuming Bitcoin doesn't hit a lower low before the end of the quarter, Tesla, if my math is right, would have to drop their carrying value from $1.331 billion Q1 down to $1.264 billion for Q2, meaning an impairment of $67 million. The way Tesla does accounting, that would be a hit to both GAAP net income and non-GAAP net income. Thankfully, that's a level that should be pretty easily absorbed by Tesla. In Q1, they posted GAAP net income of $438 million and non-GAAP net income of just over $1 billion. Though, to be fair, both of those numbers include a $100 million gain from the sale of Bitcoin in Q1, and both of them include $500 million in regulatory credits. So if Tesla didn't have that, the hit from a Bitcoin impairment would be more significant in terms of being able to achieve profitability, but hopefully those credits continue. Rounding this out, on the earnings per share line, that impairment would end up being about 6 cents per share. So there's the full math, and now you know the potential impact of that. If Bitcoin were to sharply fall suddenly again, the impairment could be even larger. Tesla could also, with these new higher prices that we've seen since the bounce back, sell some Bitcoin and offset that impairment if they chose to. All right, so thanks for sticking with me through that math if you're still around, but let's move on to a couple other pieces of news here. First up on Giga Berlin, where Tesla has received another preliminary approval for some more work from the Brandenburg Ministry of Agriculture, now allowing Tesla to install machines for final assembly at Giga Berlin. But again, this is a preliminary approval, so how many approvals we need, I do not know, but I think this means that this work would be done at Tesla's risk, and if something were to change with the final approval, Tesla would still be responsible for those costs. But this is what we have seen Tesla do time and time again, so I don't foresee any issues with that aside from the time for getting that final approval. Next is Texas. We've got an update from Joe Tagmeier there showing some castings being transported out of Giga Texas, likely on their way to Fremont for analysis, validation that those machines are working well, and quite a big stack of them too, which is exciting to see. All right, moving into the couple of analyst updates here. Right as I was posting yesterday, of course, we had talked about Pierre Farragut's note, but Elon responded to a Tasmanian article about this, saying, quote, "Farragut is remarkably insightful," end quote. As someone who agrees with that, nice to see that compliment there for Pierre from Elon, and probably a good tip to pay attention to what Pierre is talking about in this note. And on that note, we're going to be having a conversation with Pierre next week to discuss some of these things, so something to look forward to there. We also heard from Wedbush's Dan Ives in an interview with CNN yesterday. Not a ton to cover there, but I think Ives was saying similar things to what we had talked about on Monday. He said basically that EV companies across the board are being viewed with a glass half empty view right now, but he did reiterate his confidence in the stock and says he believes that in the next 12 months, Tesla will be a four-figure stock, so $1,000 or more. All right, last couple of items here. First, I saw an article from Teslarati today saying, quote, "Tesla is reiterating the Cybertruck's late 2021 initial delivery guidance," end quote. They then cite a text message to a potential customer from Tesla saying that the Cybertruck will start production late 2021, but in the meantime, the currently available Model 3 and Model Y are available to test drive, basically just saying, hey, why wait? So, want to share my thoughts on this. First of all, we've seen these text messages from Tesla before. This is just from the stores, and I would absolutely not put any weight in this in terms of it being some sort of guidance from Tesla or reiteration from Tesla about Cybertruck timing. Again, we haven't really heard Elon talk about that timeline for a while. He keeps redirecting towards Model Y for Texas. So while Tesla's website still does say production late 2021 for the tri-motor all-wheel drive Cybertruck, personally, I've moved my expectations fully to 2022. All right, lastly today is an update from Stellantis, remember the merger between PSA Group and Fiat Chrysler, which has announced a 2-year notice for termination of all of their sales and distribution agreements in the UK and EU. So that'll be June 2023. Their plan from there isn't entirely clear yet, but it sounds like they'll be meeting with all those different parties and deciding which ones they want to go forward with after that under new agreements. So kind of an interesting development there, and not the first time we've seen this from OEMs. Remember, late last year, we had reports of Cadillac offering to buy out dealerships if those dealerships weren't willing to make upgrades for EVs. All right, well, I guess that didn't end up being all that much shorter of an episode, but don't forget to tune in for that live stream tonight. We'll see what that all-electric Ford F-150 Lightning has to offer, but that'll wrap it up for this episode. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you next time. Thank you.